Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 6, day 2 of the study of Hebrews. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Hebrews 8, 7 through 13. If you're enjoying this podcast and would like to grow in your understanding of God's Word even more, let me encourage you to check out the 10-Week Bible Series in print, available at Amazon.com. For easy links of the books, go to 10weekbible.com. That's the number 10. weekbible.com. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Would you speak to us? We want to encounter you. We want to know you. We want to feel your presence close to us as we engage with you in this new covenant, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Hebrews 8, starting in verse 7. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord." Pause right there. This is, our author here is quoting from the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And I find this fascinating. I'm amazed by this when I think of it, because if the Lord was going to make a new covenant, why didn't he just make the covenant? Why did he have Jeremiah prophesy about a coming new covenant? Jeremiah said, listen, there's coming a day when I'm going to make a new covenant. Why announce that so cryptically instead of just saying, hey, here's the new covenant I'm going to give you? The reason that, I mean, on the surface here, what I see, the reason that the Lord announced this covenant was it's another messianic prophecy that there is a coming covenant that I'm going to establish that's going to supersede the previous one. Our author in Hebrews here is pointing that out, that if there had been nothing wrong with the previous covenant, God isn't going to say, listen, I'm going to make a new one that supersedes the old one. God decided to make this new covenant, this lasting one, this permanent one, this perfect covenant, because the original covenant, it wasn't that it was flawed, it was that it was incomplete. God didn't make a flawed covenant, it was an incomplete one. What was wrong with the covenant was that it was incomplete. It wasn't meant to last forever, like the covenant that God has made with us now, through the blood of his son Jesus. It's not like the covenant that led them out of Egypt. The people of Israel did not remain faithful to that covenant, and God turned away from them. But there's coming a time where God will not turn away from the people who engage with that covenant, even those that fall and stumble into sin in this covenant with Jesus. Now, the writer of Hebrews has already told us, like, be careful. Don't just wander into sin. That's a danger zone. That's a bad idea. But sin itself is not enough to break the covenant, so that we need newer sacrifices. We need more sacrifices. This one sacrifice covers all our sins through all time, if we engage in it. It's not that it universally covers all sins for those who engage and those that don't. The Bible makes it very clear that God requires allegiance to Jesus, the one who supplies this covenant to us. If we don't put our faith, our allegiance in him, we don't participate in that covenant. We have to be a party to that covenant in the legal terms that the Lord is using here. But if we do, our sins are forgiven. Continuing on in verse 10. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete is outdated and will soon disappear. So our author here is commenting on this passage from Jeremiah. And it's interesting that the writer of Hebrews, he quotes more scripture in detail than any other New Testament author that I can think of. This is an important book because our author here is expounding on these ideas and concepts in the Old Testament that we need to wrap our minds around to understand who Jesus is and what this new covenant is. There's a growing movement in the church today, at least in America, that the Old Testament was bad because there's all these people that get killed and all these people doing bad things. And, you know, let's move away from that. I mean, there is a rapidly growing mindset in Christianity amongst top pastors and people that the Old Testament is not necessary for your life as a Christian. And nothing could be further from the truth. The Old Testament, we don't have a Christian faith. We don't have a New Testament Christian faith without the Old Testament. The writer of Hebrews here is making that very clear. He keeps quoting the Old Testament. The Old Testament is what establishes our New Testament faith. Without it, we have no foundation for our faith. This new covenant that comes, that we are party to now, is established upon the bedrock of what was said and prophesied in the Old Testament. Now, God is not bound, if you will, to any of that, except that he bound himself to it. What I mean is he could do anything he wants. He could do this however he wants, and he chose to do it by binding himself to the Old Testament. He's not just creating an offshoot new religion. God's not. He didn't say, I'm done with these people of Israel. I'm just going to go a different way, and I'm going to make a covenant, a new covenant. You know, it has nothing to do with the old one. No, that's not what he's doing. He is overriding a previous covenant. He is building upon what's already been done in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is necessary. This is quoted from the Old Testament, and there is so much quoted from the Old Testament. But what he's saying here is that in the Old Testament days, you know, neighbors would say, know the Lord. They would teach one another. But there's coming a day where they won't have to say, know the Lord, because they will know God, because they will have an encounter with him. This is a promise of the coming Holy Spirit. Jeremiah is promising us here by word of the Lord that there's something different coming with this covenant. You won't have to teach and study to know the Lord. Those are good things. We need to be taught. We need to study. But that's not really how we know the Lord. We know the Lord because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, and we've learned to fellowship with him. That is one of the greatest aspects of this new covenant. As in the Old Testament, we see times, and it's referenced by name, that the Holy Spirit comes upon people. The Holy Spirit would come upon David and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and even Saul at times. And the Holy Spirit would come upon them. They would prophesy, or different things would happen. But it seems like the Holy Spirit would come and go. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit would come and stay, that we would be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. How powerful is that? This new covenant that supersedes the one and made obsolete the old one, it is so much more powerful than the Old Testament covenant because Jesus has made a sacrifice once for all, and he promises that we would be filled with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for the rest of our lives. if we choose to participate in this covenant. We know the Lord because he lives inside of us. That's almost unfathomable. I dare say that would have been unfathomable to those living under the old covenant, to those who still teach the old covenant. That idea is unfathomable. It borders upon blasphemy to them, but Jeremiah in the Old Testament prophesies it here, that there is a coming covenant where you won't have to study or be taught to know the Lord. They will know him from the least to the greatest. We see this played out when the disciples in the book of Acts go before the Sanhedrin. And the disciples begin to teach with authority the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the leaders of the Jews. And they're astounded at how well they understand things because they hadn't been taught. They hadn't gone through the synagogue system and been taught the Torah and the Talmud. The disciples hadn't. And they knew it because they were the ones, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, they were the ones that taught these people. And they, you know, the disciples, they weren't on the list of students. And they realized these people have learned from something. They understand, they know the Lord somehow. And then the book of Acts says, and then they realized they had been with Jesus. From the least to the greatest means that you don't need a priest, you don't need a pastor, you don't need me to know the Lord. You have his word and you have his Holy Spirit. And that doesn't mean that those things are bad. It doesn't mean that pastors are bad or unnecessary. No, they're good. But a pastor in a church, many people use the language of, well, I go to church to get fed, or I'm not getting fed at that church anymore. A pastor cannot feed you. No pastor can. You can only be fed by sitting at the table with God, communing with the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with his written word, his living word, his holy word. That's how you eat. That's how you get fed. A pastor's job is to point you in the right direction. A pastor's job is not like the teachers of the law in the Old Testament to teach you the precepts and the concepts of God. You won't get them from a pastor. You have to dig into them yourself. A pastor is a guide, someone to lead you on that path, someone to point you in the right direction, your cheerleader to help you keep going, your church is your cheer section to help you keep going, to draw strength from. But this new covenant, we commune in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and we have to dive in. We have to jump in with all that we have. That's why I encourage you to read the books that we're going through 10 times in 10 weeks. I don't want your head filled mostly with what I'm telling you. I want it filled mostly with God's word. If you read these books 10 times in 10 weeks, you'll have exactly 10 times more of God's word in your head than you have of me in your head. And I want that so much more because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You don't need me to teach you. My heart in these podcasts, my heart in the Bible study series that I've created here is that it would be a help to you. It would be your cheer section to push you on in the right direction, to help you keep going. If nothing else, that it would just be motivational to keep reading, to keep praying, to keep pressing into the Lord. Because the enemy, he hits us repeatedly over and over again. And we need that encouragement. We need that strength to keep going. But we have a Holy Spirit as the promise of that new covenant. Jesus says, I am the new covenant, but I am going away and sending you something better. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is the better part of Jesus in this new covenant. You have him living inside of you if you've pledged your allegiance to Jesus, if you put your faith in him. So I encourage you, learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you. Learn to pray prayers where you ask the Holy Spirit, what do you think of me? What are you thinking about this? What's going on right now? Help me understand. You have access to that. If you hear my voice and you have faith in Jesus, you have access to that kind of knowledge of God. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the podcast.